Oddnuts Daily is brought to you by Super Anti-Spyware. Remove all the spyware, not just the easy ones, at superantispyware.com. And also the Podnuts Tech Website Builder. Build a Podnuts-endorsed computer repair business website today at techsitebuilder.com. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 266. Podnuts Daily is the show where computer repair technicians come on the show and they talk about jobs they've done, tips they have, techniques they use, and try to help you guys out if you want to fix computers out there. Joining us today is a person who's no stranger to the show. It is Tim Kelly from timscomputerfix.com. Hey, Tim.
Hello, Steve. Hello, everybody.
So, Timster, I feel a little bad, I must say. You wanted to be the first video since I moved into my new place. And I didn't realize it until you texted me today because I completely forgot you said that, and I just didn't make it happen.
So, believe me, I'm not worried about it a bit. Okay. I'm just really ecstatic about your move and your new Fios connection and getting video back up and running, because I think that's really big where things are going to be heading, broadcasting-wise, podcasting-wise. So I'm with you on it. You know, I just, I can't wait. I can't wait for it to get how you want.
I agree with you. I think that's where it's heading, too. It's huge. It's a huge step. And I have to say, thank goodness for this Fios connection. I haven't had one dropout yet. So I'm loving it. And, you know, I'm not a big Verizon fan, but the pipeline they provided here with this Fios is just astounding. It just blows away any T1 I was looking at about a fourth of the price. So must recommend it at this point. And it's a good deal. So what have you been up to, though? It's just enough about me. You guys must be sick of hearing about me. What have you been doing?
Hey, you know, you got a lot going on, man. It's good to keep up with what you got going on. I've been doing good. Just staying busy. Still got my 9-to-5. Been really picking up business-wise here since August in my shop here, computer repair.
Yeah.
So I've been pretty much staying busy doing that and keeping things rolling. And I've done a lot of different repairs on. I've gone through the gamut of my first Mac and several different power jack repair experiences. And so, yeah,
first Mac, you said?
Yeah, I got my first Mac in, released around 2008, MacBook Pros, 15.4-inch screen. I think it's when the LED backlit just first came out on those.
Black keys or silver keys?
Silver keys.
And why do you say that you couldn't have picked a better one to work on?
Well, because the research that I've done, some of the ones that came out like after 2008 are the ones that are called like the unibody.
Yes.
Laptops where they have like a protective cover over the screen and, that you got to pry off. It's kind of cool in there.
Right.
This was going to be like a screen repair. But anyway, some of the instructional videos, but the instructions that I was seeing, some people tutorials and all on taking apart MacBooks, seem to be relatively straightforward. The only thing is, I finally figured out how to be sure. Well, I think I have how to be sure you're getting the right screen without actually having to take the screen out. I think it's a little different with Macs than it is with regular, laptops. You don't have to take the screen out and match up the model number on the back. So
what do you mean? What do you mean you don't have to match the model number up?
Well, let's see how that went with me was. I went to Apple and I punched in the serial number,
right,
so, to check for warranty. And it also gave me all of the information that I kind of needed to pick the right screen.
Okay.
And so I matched that up with like eBay.
Right.
The only thing I knew to be careful of was this was going to be a screen replacement. The MacBook dropped out of the guy's backpack and smacked the ground and it cracked his screen. And what I found on eBay is a variety of screens ranging from, let's just say they were $100 difference in some screens, and I was trying to figure out why. And what I came up with was some of the screens, some of the sellers on there said the screens were completely 100% compatible with this particular MacBook. And the ones that were $100 higher said that they were genuine, genuine from the factory part. So, you know, obviously what I'm going to do is I'm going to go with the direct from manufacturer, the higher priced, because, you know, I don't, just don't want to take any chances on any, with a MacBook, you know, on lower quality.
Right.
So anyways, they're not cheap. The Mac screens are not cheap. And I think anybody would have guessed that, you know, but this particular customer has me on hold right now because they just don't have the money at the moment. So I think here in a couple of weeks, but I feel really confident about tearing this Mac down and replacing the screen based upon what I've been seeing. It's not a unibody, and I'm really glad of that. I don't even know if I want to do one of those.
I mean,
you've got a Mac too, right, Steve?
I have a unibody one. I haven't had to replace the screen, obviously, but it's easy to work on them. I mean, the whole bottom comes off.
Yeah.
But so, like, to change RAM and hard drives, it's easy.
Right.
But as far as motherboard repair and screen repair, I have not had any experience with it. But yeah, I could see what you're saying, especially with the cover on there.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I mean, most laptops, when I talk about buying screens for laptops, you know, we do say, like, look at the model number on the back of the screen and try to match it up.
Yes.
But that's just to be safe. I'm sure that many, many different you could put many different LCD screens in many different laptops and it would work. The reason I don't recommend it is because it may not work. You know what I mean? It's better to be safe.
No, I would say definitely on regular laptops running Windows, no doubt. By the model number on the back of the screen.
Right.
Without a doubt.
But why wouldn't you do that, Timster, on the MacBook?
Well, because like I said, I went to Apple and I typed in the serial number of that laptop and it gave me a very detailed description of what screen was in that laptop was in the laptop.
But not the model number.
It gave me two different, I guess they were model numbers, but I mean with looking at the choices I had on eBay, there wasn't no mistaking. There wasn't any mistaking that I had the right screen.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's just kind of how it works. With, I guess there's fewer of them, but I don't really know. All I know is I felt I was very confident, narrowed it down to what exactly I knew I needed to get.
Gotcha.
Without having to take the screen out.
Cool.
First. So.
All right.
Yeah. And, you know, with you living down in Florida, I talked about this before, and you kind of roll your eyes a little bit. You're like, yeah, you know, you live in the lightning capital of the U.S. in Tampa,
right?
Oh yeah, well, and I've mentioned a couple of times about surge protectors, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, you know, I'm not far from you now. I'm up here in Georgia, and we get those rocking thunderstorms. I get a fair amount of lightning damaged computers in my shop.
Yeah, so, you know. Let me just stop you for one second there. I'm not going to roll my. I'm going to let you continue, but I just want to let you know I'm not going to roll my eyes this time because I did have a thunder and lightning storm right before this show.
Okay.
And the thought finally entered my mind: I should get a surge protector. So you're right on, man. You're reading my mind.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I can understand why you would say that because anybody that lives. Who has lived in almost, I don't know whether you grew up north, but
yes,
who's lived up north almost all your life, and you really don't have any idea really just how vicious the lightning storms can be down here in the south. They can be extremely vicious.
Huh.
And proof is in the pudding. I get dead computers in here that's been hit by lightning, and I've had several of them this year. Every time a thunderstorm rolls around and it gets really bad, I'm like, yeah, you know. I'm going to be getting some calls.
All right. So were you going to recommend a surge protector? Is that where you were heading with this?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I have, there's a, I'll post it here in the chat.
Okay.
There is a Belkin surge protector that I would recommend simply because Well, for one thing, it has 4,300 joules. And the joule rating is, you know, of course, the higher the joule rating, the more protection you're going to have.
Right.
But this one has, let's see, what model is this? This is the Belkin BP112230 is the model number of this surge protector. And what I love about this, besides the good joule rating, I mean, you really want to get, you know, they have like 1,000 joules on some of them that are cheap. You know, it's better than nothing, but, you know, you want to go a little higher. This is around 4,000 joules. But what I really love about this, it's got 12 sockets, but the sockets on the end, they roll out. You can fold them out and twist them. So, you know, you have those big packs, plug packs that come with some of your electronics, yeah. You know, that take up like two slots.
Right.
This eliminates that problem. The sockets fold out and they twist and they swivel. So you can actually fill all 12 sockets with all of your electronics.
And the joule rating's good?
And the joule rating is very good, yes.
I'm buying this right this second.
Yeah, man.
I just added it to my Amazon cart.
But you have a nice HD television too, don't you?
Yeah. What do I have to buy, two of these?
Man. Hey, don't be a fool. I mean, you're standing out that window going, wow, this lighting is really bad.
What kind of joule rating should I look for?
I would say anything, you know, 4,000 or higher. Definitely.
Okay.
You know, and with surge protectors, you kind of get what you pay for.
Yeah.
But like I say, though, this one is the only model I've seen that has the, you know, rotating sockets.
Right.
So you can, you know, make full use of it and plug as many stuff as you can.
Hey, Tim, is it, is 30, like 3184, that's the price. Is that a good price for it?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. All I'm right. Looking at this now, it's 35. So.
All right, I'm buying it. Talk me into it.
Yeah, man, you better. And, you know, I'll go a step further with that. What I do is if I'm home and a lightning storm gets close, and I mean, you can tell when they're getting really bad, I'll just go around and unplug everything because that's the really only surefire way you're not going to get zapped.
That's what I do. And that is what I've always done. Yeah. I mean,
but a lot of times I'm not home. Thunder showers can pop up within 5 minutes around here in the summertime.
That's the difference between here and north. You kind of know when a storm's coming in around north, and the weatherman knows and everybody knows, and you get ready. Here, it's like you blink your eye and it's upon you. And it's like a lot of there's showers down here, like thunder showers.
Yeah.
Not too much up north.
Exactly.
So yeah, I agree with you. I hate to do it, but I got to be safe. See, I don't like purchases like these because they're boring. I don't like buying things that just sit on the floor.
I know, man. See, it's the thing. I feel the same way, but as soon as you have a dead motherboard, you're pissed.
Yeah.
Bad, you know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth it. Definitely worth it.
Okay.
Especially where you're living. Real quick on the computer repair side of that, I had a Dell Dimension come in, and it's real funny how Lightning works. It'll travel through everything. Through your power supply, and your power supply will be fine. Most of the time, I get dead motherboards, just dead motherboards. For some reason, it'll travel through everything. It'll hit the motherboard. The motherboard's dead every time. I think in this particular one I had, his printer was dead too. So I'm thinking it might have traveled through his printer and got in, you know, got his motherboard that way. But,
through his printer?
Yeah, because his printer, I mean, his power supply was good. You know, everything in the computer was great. This is a desktop computer. And everything else, you know, his speakers were okay. The only other thing that was dead was his printer. And your printer's plugged into the wall, and then you got your USB cable from the printer to the computer, and it can travel through that.
Ah, I see.
Also, this model surge protector has coaxial cable protection too, Steve, because lightning can travel through your coaxial cable.
Right. Right.
So, you know, whatever way you can prevent it, do it.
Gotcha.
In the long run, you'll be glad you did.
All right. I'm buying it. Told you I did. It didn't take you much to convince me on this one.
I'm surprised.
You called it an opportune time. But, one thing, as far as lightning traveling through motherboards, I think that your motherboards are going to fail because they're like one of the most sensitive pieces of equipment in the computer. I mean, power supplies are robust for the most part. they can take a shot or two, you know. But once that gets into the motherboard, you know, the circuitry, I mean, you can just tell by looking at it, it's microscopic in some places, and just can't some of the components just can't handle it. So I think that's why you're going to see motherboards fry. Even if that printer wasn't hooked up, you could probably still have lightning come in, not fry anything else except the motherboard on that computer. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, and in almost all cases, it's just the motherboard.
Yeah, so, it's interesting.
Right. Yeah.
It kind of sucks, though, because then you can't really trust the power supply anymore. You know, it's like, you know, Rocky, you ever see Rocky? The motherboard's dead, but the power supply might like have taken like 10 punches to the head and look like, you know, Sylvester Stallone on the inside. You can never tell. So, yeah, when I had to replace motherboards, a lot of times I would just play it safe and replace the power supply. But it's just a judgment call on that.
Wow. Yeah, I don't replace the power supply. I just replaced the motherboard, and on all the ones I've done, I haven't had a single one returned for a power supply issue. So good. There may be some truth in what you say there, and that's probably a good extra step to take. I like living on the edge, I guess.
I know what you mean. I was the same way when I had my shop. Hey, okay. before you go on to your next thing, I want to remark on the sign. You can't really tell on the video. By the way, if you're watching this on video, this is just another test video. This is not how the final video is going to be. I wanted to broadcast Timster's video because he got his webcam set up and everything, and he even has his sign in the background. Where did you get that, and what is it?
That is an actual car magnet. And the door I have here at my shop is a metal door. And I got that from, Steve, you kind of caught me off guard on that. It's a sign shop up north.
Local?
No, up north.
You ordered it online? Don't worry about it.
Let's see.
Because it looks nice. And I didn't know it was a magnet. I thought it was like a Vistaprint sign or something from here. But you really got it right. It says Tim's Computer Repair. There's a picture of a computer on it. Your phone number's in huge numbers under it, and then it tells like what types of things you fix. It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's a great, great, well done sign.
Thanks, and I'm surprised you can see that because it really looks like you can't see that from what I'm looking at.
Oh, on the Ustream, yeah. If anybody's looking at it on the Ustream, that's because the Ustream is just a webcam pointing at one of my monitors of the Skype I'm on with Timster. It's a mess. This is just makeshift for right now.
Okay, yeah, you see me through Skype there. That's
right. Yeah, I see you through Skype.
Yeah.
All right, don't worry about it.
I can't find the name of the company that I got that sign from. If by the end of the show I spot it,
If you do pick it up even after the end of the show, send it to Data Mike, and he'll put it in the show notes. Or send it to me. Okay. I'll forward it to Data Mike.
Yeah, they did a very good job. I did some research on it. They're vinyl signs.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job on it.
Good price, too.
Rounded edges, you know. It doesn't look, you know, generic.
Right.
Very heavy duty. Very heavy duty.
So, good price?
Very good price. I think I paid $20.
Wow. For the magnet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Great, great job.
Yeah, I'll shoot that in mind, that name of that.
Okay.
Somewhere in Michigan, I think.
All right, we'll figure it out. Didn't mean to derail you there.
No problem here. There's a lot of talk of software on Podness Daily today. I have a lot of hardware stuff.
Really. Good.
And I had a Dell laptop come in. No, let's see. What was it? Oh, I want to talk about the Dell parts store. Their call-in parts store that you can call and order your parts through Dell certified parts.
Really?
I really don't care for it that much.
Okay, I was going to say, I can't imagine it being good or better than eBay for price-wise anyway.
No. The only reason why I did it this particular time is because, what was it? I was having trouble finding a particular part on eBay.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but at any rate, what I wanted to say about it was this little story I went through with this guy who I had to order parts for, and I called the Dell store and I talked to one of their technicians or one of their sellers. They talked with him. You know, he was a foreign guy. And it was two parts I was ordering. A keyboard. I think it was the keyboard I had trouble finding. Yeah, so that's why I went to them. It was a keyboard and a DVD drive for a Dell laptop.
You couldn't find them on eBay? You're kidding me.
No. I could find the DVD drive. I could not find the keyboard.
You're kidding me. What model?
That particular model Dell laptop. I couldn't find it.
Wow, that's almost amazing to me.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was surprised myself.
Yeah.
But anyway, I called him, and the guy that I talked to, I took him a minute. He found both parts, and I said, look, I need a price. I need a price so I can shoot this price to my customer, and then I'll call back and order the part. Sure.
Let me guess. They wanted $40 for the keyboard and $120 for the DVD drive.
God, no.
Okay.
No. Okay. It wasn't a price thing. The prices were reasonable.
Okay.
He says, yeah, you know, we have the keyboard, and let's see. And we have a DVD drive with that. Okay, great. What's the price? He gave me the price. It was a reasonable price.
Okay. Okay.
That's not the point I was getting at. Right. So I said, okay, give me, I want to be sure, he gave me his badge number or whatever, you know, and right. Said I could call him back. Or actually, you know, he said, so I hung up with him. I called my customer. He agreed to the price. And so he paid me through PayPal.
Right.
I sent him an invoice through PayPal. I got my money, and then I called Dell back. I called Dell back, used a badge number. That badge number didn't work for some reason.
Really? Maybe they, yeah. You know what? Maybe they make these things up.
I don't know, but okay. a foreign guy, his name, he said his name was Lloyd. Okay. A foreign guy by the name of Lloyd. All right. That was kind of fishy to me in the first place. But,
well, what name would you pick if you were?
I don't. Well, to me, he,
I know what you're saying.
Sounded like maybe his name might have been Alibaba. I don't know.
Yeah. I would pick a better name than Lloyd. No offense to the Lloyds out there.
Yeah, and I think, no.
I'd pick a name like Buster or like, I don't know, something like that. Something kind of off the wall. Anyway, yeah. I'm just.
Yeah, I mean, his
around.
Name might have been Lloyd. I don't know.
Okay.
My point is, I ended up getting another guy, right? And he goes, well, who did you talk to? I said, a guy named Lloyd. And he goes, well, there's nobody here by that name. I was like, okay, well, look, all I want is a keyboard and a DVD drive for this model laptop. He gave me a price, you know, I'll just need to order it. He says, okay, well, let me look. Okay, you found a keyboard, but guess what? They don't have the DVD drive.
You mean all of a sudden?
Yeah, all of a sudden the DVD drive isn't available. It's like not there.
Of course not.
I'm like, oh man, you've got to be kidding.
Wow. they just make this impossible. They're not the only company that does it. They just make things impossible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was just furious. I was just fuming.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm usually the type of guy that will keep my cool and, you know, just go on to the next thing. But I said, you guys are, you know, something. But anyway, I went ahead, since I needed the keyboard through Dell, I went ahead and said, just send me the keyboard. And I said, Lloyd told me he could get it free next day air. Can you do that? Well, I guess I can do that. I says, yeah, you need to do that. And so I hung up with him. And make a long story short, after that...
Did Lloyd really say that, first of all?
He did say that, okay. Yes. He said, you know, free, next day air. You know, it was golden with Lloyd. anyway, I'm serious. It was 24 hours later after that.
Right.
Guess who I get a call from on my phone?
Lloyd.
This is Lloyd. I was wondering if if you needed anything. I says... Huh. You were, where were you?
Right. Right. What did he say?
Nothing. He just said, he just sat there and said, I was just wondering if there's anything else I can help you with. No.
Oh man. Well, why didn't you try to get the DVD drive from him? You just didn't.
No, because, I could get the DVD drive off eBay. Okay. It was the keyboard that I couldn't get.
Okay.
So I said, I don't need you anymore. You know? Choice words. And I hung up with
him. Good. So, he abandoned you.
Yeah, man. That was just so aggravating.
I can imagine.
Very aggravating. So everybody watch out for the Dell store. Heed my warning if you have to call and order parts from them. At least my experience. I will tell you one thing that Dell is really good at. I thought, and maybe you did this too, Steve. I had a Dell laptop come in that, let's see, had, yeah, a bad, let's see, what was it? Yeah, a bad screen. This particular laptop had, when you powered it up, it had a checkerboard screen. You can make out some letters, you know, during the post.
Yeah.
It was like black and white checkerboard.
That's a video card. Okay, go ahead.
You can hook up an external monitor, and you still got the checkerboard screen.
Right.
Here, and let me, I'm going to post what that looks like here in chat. Go. And
yeah, usually checkerboard is, when you get a checkerboard, it's usually like a bad video card, video chip, or it's not your screen.
Right. Exactly. It was, you know, yeah, you're like you say, a bad video chip or basically a bad motherboard.
That looks awesome though.
Yeah, doesn't it though?
Yeah.
This is right here.
So what's Dell good at?
Oh,
you just have me curious. I can't believe
this. The guy we dropped the laptop off said that his laptop was out of warranty. I asked him, but you know, regardless of that, I check anyway. And come to find out, he had 15 days left on his warranty. And so I called him. I said, "Bad news, you got a bad motherboard." Okay. "Good news, you're still under warranty." So basically, what I did is I took care of the whole thing for him. I lined up a Dell technician to come into my shop and replace his motherboard.
Oh, he had on site?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which I'm noticing with a lot of the warranties now that Dell are giving. I mean, they give that. I mean, that comes along with your basic warranty package. I just bought a brand new Dell here, and it has the same thing. I didn't ask for anything special.
Really? So, well, that's great. You're right. So, that is, well, how much does a warranty cost?
Oh, no. I mean, it was the warranty that came with the laptop.
You mean it's not even an extended warranty and you get on-site service?
Yes. Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm positive, man. I just bought a brand new, I got a Dell, brand new Dell desktop sitting here that I just came in. I checked the warranty status and it shows on site.
Wow. For how long do you get that for?
Well, I know I signed up for 1 year. Now he may have paid for a 2 year service or something, but I mean, just the basic 1 year and I've got on site.
Okay. But you signed up for it?
No.
You said you just signed up for 1 year.
No, well, I mean, the 1 year came with
okay.
the purchase.
Okay, it came with the purchase. Yeah. You didn't have to, it wasn't any extra cost or anything.
Not at all.
No. Wow, that is good then.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're doing that.
So, you know, I went the extra mile for the guy. You know, why do you want to, you know, why would you want to go through the trouble of saying, "Oh, you're under warranty, come pick your laptop up, call, you know, go ahead and just call Dell and handle all that, you know, yourself." When, you know, it all it took me was a, you know, a 15-minute phone call and talk to Dell. They aligned everything up for me. The technician was a really great guy. He came in and he tore the laptop down completely. You know, of course, he works on Dells all the time.
Right.
Had it, you know, had the motherboard switched out, back up and running in less than 30 minutes.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. But what I really love about it is he left this tool with me.
A spooger.
Yeah, a spudge. Is it a spooge or spudge?
Spooger.
Is it?
Yeah, I had one from Apple and I kind of lost it and been kicking myself ever since.
You know, I've heard about them. I've seen them. I never really owned one. And I was like, well, you know, I'm doing okay without one. Man, I tell you, if I'll tell everybody, these spoogers or spudgers are a lifesaver.
It's basically just, it's a piece of plastic basically, but it allows it with a sharpened end. And, basically it allows you to pry apart two pieces of plastic without, if you notice trying to pry apart two pieces of plastic with a screwdriver, you're just going to mangle the heck out of the plastic. But with the spooger, it doesn't ruin the plastic, and you get leverage. It allows you to get leverage, right?
Yeah, and I can promise you, anybody who doesn't have one or says I don't need one, any type of technique you have to disassemble your laptops, this tool will make a difference.
It really will. I agree. I should have made the laptop repair videos with a spooger.
I don't know why I didn't purchase one sooner, because it really, really does. You can be as rough as you want to with the laptop, as far as, you know, trying to pry and prod.
Right.
It doesn't scratch the surface at all. I mean, you could bear down as hard as you want. I wouldn't recommend it. But if you could just run this thing right across the palm rest of a laptop, and it won't scratch.
Huh. Now, is it his and he just forgot it, or was it a...
Yeah, he left it on my bench. Yeah, he was here working on it. I had
so you're gonna mail it to him, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna mail it to him. Mm-hmm. with a note saying, "Excuse me, you left your tool in my shop. I hope you didn't miss it."
You know, I would consider it, you know, exchange for the inconvenience that Lloyd put you through.
Oh yeah, man. Oh.
Sorry to bring that up, but yeah, she got a spooger. Yeah, you know what? That's a great tip too, Tim. So you're full of good advice today.
Oh, appreciate really. It. I love this tool.
Okay, well, next, I'm gonna get one, and I'm gonna have to do a couple more laptop repair videos. I will use the spooger. I'll introduce that and show how it's better to use that than a screwdriver.
Yes,
it sounds good. Hey, can I do an ad?
I was about to do an ad, but sure, you can do an ad.
Okay. We have a new sponsor for the show.
Oh.
Sponsor for Podnuts, and it is none other than the guys at Super Anti-Spyware.
Sweet.
I'm really psyched about having these guys as a sponsor, because I can legitimately talk about their product and endorse it fully without any, you know, consideration in my mind that I'm going to have to edit that. But basically, what I wanted to say was I can recommend this. I can recommend it fully and not have any thought in my mind that it's a bad product. I mean, I used it in my shop. You use Super Anti-Spyware, right, Timster?
I use it. It is a must-have virus cleaning tool. Yes.
It is. And what we basically have is, if you're a Podnuts listener, you're going to get a special deal here. Well, first of all, let me just say, if anybody doesn't have Super Anti-Spyware, download the free version. It's available for free, superantispyware.com. You know, use it, test it out, run it. You will like it. You're going to find with this program that it's going to find stuff that nothing else has found on your computer. That's one of the things that we really liked about Super Anti-Spyware when I ran it, is it always found something. Maybe we ran a couple other programs first and then ran Super Anti-Spyware, but even when we did that, it still found something. What's also cool about the software, these guys are on the ball, because they update the software, where did he put it here? 3 to 10 times daily. So their database is updated 3 to 10 times daily. They have guys around the clock just finding like the latest spyware and viruses and adding it to their database. So it's always going to be current. What you want to do is then run the free version, and if you like it, you could buy the pro version. But what I really – and what the pro version offers you is let me see here. I'm going to have to do a lot of editing on this, but until I get used to talking about all the points here. The pro version includes the ability to schedule a scan. It has real-time protection, automatic definition updates. It's updated 3 to 10 times daily, so the ability to set the updates to automatic is very valuable and an often overlooked feature. That's the advantages of the pro version. He's got lifetime licenses available. But the main reason I think it's a great sponsor for the show is, you computer repair techs out there, you need to sell this to your customers. Super Anti-Spyware has a reseller program where you can basically buy licenses of Super Anti-Spyware in bulk for a huge discount. And then what you do is, every customer that brings in a computer, even if you run Super Anti-Spyware on there, sell the customer the pro version. This way they can take it home, run this version in the background. It will sit there stopping spyware from entering their machine, and it's something that they need. It runs in conjunction with antivirus. It does not interfere. It's an antivirus's best friend. So Yeah. Wow.
That's epic. Great. Hey, and it's also a very light program, I've noticed. Very, very light. So if you run it with like Microsoft Security Essentials, I mean, you're never even going to know it's there.
Yeah. Super light, not a big footprint.
Yeah. And I see here they also have a portable version.
Yeah, you know, like I said, they're on the ball. They listen to feedback. So a lot of guys were requesting a portable version. So boom, they put out a portable version. If you want to really save big on this and make a profit offering this to your customers, what you got to do is contact Mike Duncan. He is the man to contact there. He gave me his phone number and an email address and a couple other ways to contact him. So there's no excuse for not being able to reach him. His phone number is 541-607-6553, extension 111. We're going to put that in the Podnuts daily show notes as well. His email address is mike.duncan@superantispyware.com. That's D-U-N-C-A-N. Or you can just go to superantispyware.com under the reseller section and get the information there. Here's the key point. Tell him you heard about this on Podnuts, and he will give you a special offer. Super Antispyware. We're really happy to have them as a sponsor for Podnuts.
Absolutely. Hey, that is great. And how long have us techs relied on Super Antispyware?
Exactly. It's a program we talk about all the time. So I love that they're a sponsor. Yep. I can fully recommend them with no hesitation. And Mike is great too. He's a great guy. He's always sending me releases on what they're doing over at Super Antispyware. So I always know that they have something in the works. They're staying on top of things. So great program. Check it out. Okay, Timster, what else you got for us?
Well, I had another customer that came in with a Lenovo ThinkPad with a fingerprint reader. This customer came to me courtesy of the tech site builder that I have.
Good. Good, good, good.
At techsitebuilder.com.
Good.
It's a power jack problem.
Okay.
And let's see. How do I want to approach this? You know, I've done several power jack repairs. This one right here threw me for a little bit of a loop simply because, you know, a lot of times on power jacks, this is one that is kind of pigtailed to the board, has the jack with wires that run to the board that you plug in.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah, it is a very nice thing. Yeah.
What brand did you say it was again?
Lenovo.
Okay.
So Lenovo ThinkPad.
Okay.
Yeah, this, the fingerprint reader, I'll just make a quick note here. The fingerprint reader was active when the laptop was brought to me. So in other words, when the laptop got powered on, I couldn't actually enter in the operating system because of the fingerprint.
Okay. But you could still test power with that.
Yeah, you can test power with that. Yeah, but there's a little catch to this. So usually when you get pigtail power jacks, you'll have maybe two black wires, two white wires, or two black wires, two red wires, you know, for the positive and for ground, for power leads.
Right.
Yeah, and then sometimes you'll have a third wire that, you know, usually can be, I've seen the third wire sometimes be another positive lead. I have seen sometimes the third wire be a negative lead. I have, and then there's also a sensor wire that runs that in conjunction with the power jack so it'll recognize your battery.
Right.
This is I guess I can say, I used to tell my daughter, "Do as I say and not as I do." And this is one of those situations because what I did was I was testing those wires to see which ones were positive, negative, or what have you. And I was testing the tip. Yeah, is what it was. And this one particular third wire went to the very center of the jack, which was the very center of the tip on the power supply, on the power cord.
Right. That pin in the middle. So it's like one of those Dell type jacks, right?
Right. So okay. I had my trusty voltmeter out, and I was testing for voltage. I was getting 19 volts, on all the positive leads of the tip, and I wanted to test that one pin in the middle of the tip to see if it was a positive or a negative. Well, when I tested that center pin for voltage, I got 19 bulls, but I made a mistake. My other lead to my voltage tester was touching the positive lead, so I was getting a false positive on the center pin. I was getting 19 volts.
You shouldn't be getting 19 volts if you're touching two positives.
No. I had one lead. I had one lead to my voltmeter on the negative, and then I was just barely trying to touch that center pin with my other lead.
Right.
But it was accidentally touching the wall.
Oh, okay.
Positive. So I thought I was getting 19 volts. So what I said was, oh, well, it's a positive lead. That third wire is a positive lead. So I now know what happens when you send 19 volts down
the center pin.
The center pin, the sensor pin. I now know what happens.
What happens?
Well, at first when you turn the laptop on, it'll power on, and then the screen will stay on for like 10 seconds, and then you'll start hearing this hissing noise coming from the power supply. And then shortly after that, the screen will start flickering, and you'll get all these crazy lines going, and then like noise comes out the speaker. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Nothing happens.
Oh, man.
Nothing happens, at least on this Lenovo. And you know why? When I retested everything, that center pin and the lead that's on the wire that runs to your power jack,
yeah.
It's not grounded to anything. It has no ground. So you can send 1,000 volts through that thing if it's not grounded. It doesn't ground it anywhere on the laptop at all.
That's just kind of lucky. I mean, you don't want to send volt. You never want to send voltage where it shouldn't go.
That's why I say, do as I say. It was a learning experience for me. I will say, not absolutely nothing. Actually, and this brings me back to the fingerprint reader. I powered the laptop on, powered right up. Great. Cool. Well, I said, well, that job's done. Closed it up, called the customer. She got home, called me the next day. Hey, everything's great with this, except my battery's not being recognized. And how she knew that was because she went into the operating system, and the operating system popped up and notified her that her battery's not being recognized. I, on the other hand, couldn't get into the operating system because of the fingerprint reader, so I might have caught that before I let it go out the door.
I see. This is the one you told me about, right? Didn't you call me on? Okay. I just wanted to make sure this didn't happen twice to you.
No, okay. Man.
Okay. Yeah. So even on Dells, Timster, that Dells are funny with their power adapters. They always have been. They have a positive, which is and the outer ring. Or no, is positive the outer ring? No, negative is the outer ring.
Right.
Then positive is the inner ring. Then there's that pin in the middle, and you're wondering, like, what the heck is this thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's the pin in the middle is not your 19 volts, right? You found that out.
I found that out.
That pin in the middle is a sensor, and it needs to be there and connected to give battery information. So, yeah, that's the way Dells are. I guess Lenovo is the same way.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm just glad that it worked out.
Yeah, it is, man. It's really scary to send 19 volts where it shouldn't go. So I know exactly what you mean. I've done it too.
Exactly. Yep.
Good advice.
It's funny you say that about the Dell power jacks. A Dell Inspiron 1420 power jack repair. And these power jacks I know you know what I'm talking about.
They're
great. Can you see this?
Oh, I hate them.
Yeah, this is if I can get it in focus. There's like 9 leads on this thing.
Yeah, there's like he's holding up the power jack. And usually like there's a positive and negative, you solder to the motherboard, and on these there's like 8 or 9 pins you have to hook up. It's just it's a mess. And the way they're actually built on the inside, because I've repaired them where I probably should have replaced the jack. I've done repairs on them. Trying to find the inner workings on those, like where the leads go on the inside, is crazy in itself. It's quite like a contraption.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they suck.
Well, I want to give a few tips in what I've learned in doing these that anybody who is, obviously that. Power jacks is a big part of computer repair. I mean, that's the majority of my laptop repairs. that come in, or power jack problems,
right,
in screens. But my tip is, you know, obviously you can't just desolder this thing. Now, I don't use a hot air desolder. I don't know. Maybe Steve D'Amico might have a better trick than I do. But this is just in my experience with my trusty old soldering iron that I have. You can't, like, desolder the whole jack and pull it off in one. Like the other jacks and other laptops, you know, that has four leads, you can kind of work those out, you know, get a screwdriver under them or something. But with these, I take some wire cutters and I just start cutting away at the jack. So that way I can kind of, I try my best to separate all the leads that go into the board.
Right.
And the trick is really is to leave as much of the lead sticking up. You know, when you're cutting it apart and you're getting to each lead, the metal that these leads are made of are very delicate.
So right.
Bend it a couple of times, it's going to snap right off. But you want to leave as much of the lead sticking up as possible.
So you can grab it with a pair of needle nose?
Yes. And, of course, you know, you're always going to have one or two that are going to just, you know, break right off at the nub.
Right.
The tip I want to give with that is don't spend a lot of time trying to desolder the leads that are snapped off right at the base, right at the flush with the board.
Good point.
Don't spend forever trying to pull that lead out or figure out a way to with a soldering iron. This is just not going to happen. You're going to be pulling your hair out.
Yes, you will. I've been there.
So I want to talk about a tool that is just will save your life in those situations. And it is called, don't laugh here, it's called actually a reamer tool.
Okay.
You get these from Radio Shack.
Right.
And it looks like a needle here on camera.
Right.
But and one side really is a needle. But one side is sort of a...
like a fork?
A hexagon shape, you know, it's got flat sides to it.
Right.
But it's gritty like a file.
Okay.
So all you do, instead of trying to heat the board up and, you know, you just dig the solder out with this tool. You dig the solder out. You go in and you just twist this tool. And like I say, it's got like a sandpaper grit, like a file grit to it. And it'll chew away the solder that's in the lead hole.
It will? You mean after you get the pins out?
No, with the pins still in there.
And the solder cold?
And the solder cold, yes. Yes, this tool will just chip right through solder. It and you stick it in the lead and you twist and twist, and you can just see the solder just getting, you know, shaved off by this file end on this tool here.
And then you pull the lead out?
And then, well, I've had two cases where I couldn't get the lead out, but I actually got the lead to push to one side, you know, whenever I was heating the board up.
Right.
So I just left the lead in, and I got my hole, you know, right, and I drilled me out a hole right next to that lead, and I worked it, and then when I got to a certain point, I sat the board up on its edge. And I put the soldering iron on one side of the bottom side of the board. And I just worked this little tool into the other side. And boom, I had a hole in no time. Right. But first, I dug out the solder with this. I created a divot, a crater in the lead hole
first.
And then all I had to do was apply a little bit of heat. Boop, poke this thing right through. I'm done.
Wow. That's, you know, learning how to learning. People don't realize what. How awesome that tip is you just gave. Until you try to do one of these Dell jack repairs.
Oh, tell me about it.
Any techniques to help with that is amazing. I never used a reamer. That's a great idea, man.
Oh, yeah. It's a lifesaver when doing that.
I actually have a video on that, Timster, in the laptop repair videos, where I'm using a desoldering iron to get those pins out. Mm-hmm. And I had to edit out all the points where the pin, the desoldering iron, you know, moved, and I burned my finger and cursed and, like, couldn't get it out. Like, I hate those things.
Plenty of curse words flying around here on my end, too, with those Dell. I tell you, if you can do one of these Dell power jacks, man, you could do just about any.
Yes, you can.
Power jack repair. Now, yeah. The desoldering tool you're talking about, that's the one that has, like, it looks like an iron, except it's got a bulb.
Yeah, it's got a bulb on it, like a turkey baster.
Did you have any luck with that? Oh, I bought one of those, and I... I didn't have any luck with that at all.
Yeah, I actually got pretty good with it. I mean, what I do to heat up the solder is, you know, I put the end of that desoldering iron over a pin, like on a power jack, and I just wrench it in kind of in a circle. I kind of rotate the desoldering iron around it and push it and pull it on the actual motherboard. So the pin inside the hole there is just being pushed back and forth. I'm trying to loosen that pin and heat up the solder at the same time. And doing that method and pulling the bulb,
yeah,
you get the solder out. But a lot of times it's not enough, and there's still solder left, and you gotta.
I could never get that tool to melt the solder. I mean, it looked like it worked like on bigger kind of components, but I don't know.
Yeah,
that still sounds like a lot of.
Yeah, it is. It didn't work great, but you could see on the laptop repair videos the points where it actually pulled out the solder. It's a 40 watt soldering iron for anybody who's wondering. It's at Radio Shack. I think it's like $15 or something, mm-hmm. if that. But yeah, I like your method better. Just ream it.
It'll make you mad because, you know, you could take your soldering iron and you can actually see the solder just melt. And then you take your soldering iron away and then the hole fills back.
Well, wait a minute. Are you using it right? When you desolder, you have to hold the baster part in, right? When you're soldering.
No, I'm not talking about the soldering gun. I was just talking about whenever I'm just fooling around with the, you know, trying to figure out what my best angle of attack
right,
is.
Right. It's so and frustrating
you
with solder.
You touch it with the iron, you see the thing, you see the solder melt, and you take it away. You're like, dang, you know? You know, I just wanted to sit there with a can of compressed air and melt it and go, but you know what will happen then.
Yeah, well, a couple things could happen then.
Yeah.
Hey, any way to get that solder out. I like your tip. I'm going to try that reamer.
Lifesaver. I'm telling you, this tool right here.
Hey, man, you're giving tips that, like, okay, so now buy a spooger, which is a piece of plastic, and a reamer, which is a sharpened file. These are, like, cheap things. This is, like, great tips.
Mm-hmm. This life-saving tips, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
let's see. What else do I have here real quick? Oh, wow. Oh.
Yes.
How much did you have dinner yet tonight, Steve?
Yeah,
you did. Okay, good. I'm gonna post here in the chat room a picture of my smoker's computer that I had to clean up. Those, I hate those. I really hate those. Take a look at that.
Ew, that's so gross, man. I'll send this to Data Mike too. We got to put this in the show notes. It's disgusting.
I almost gagged several times. But
you were too thorough on that. Too thorough.
No, dude. I mean, that all came out of the CPU heatsink.
Yeah, I guess you got to do that. I've taken heat sinks off and just put them under hot water in the sink. I do that sometimes. I've done that.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, but hey, you got to do what you got to do. Smokers, computers, not good. Yeah.
No. Yuck. No, I just did it with pretty much isopropyl alcohol and Q-tips.
And a blowtorch and a pair of pliers.
And a mask.
Yeah.
Bio suit.
Yeah, they stay with you. I remember those computers. Well, good job you were thorough with that. I'm sure the customer was very pleased.
A lot of techs just won't take that type of job, and I'm not sure I'll take it again either.
Yeah, I mean, or just replace the part or something. I mean, yeah, the whole computer probably smelled terrible too, didn't it?
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, when you open it up, you go, God, it's dusty. I mean, it was just dusty.
That, well, they're the worst, and you try to blow out all the dust, and it's all stuck in there. It doesn't move.
Yeah, so I take my shot back and boo, and nothing blows out.
I hate that.
Nothing. And there's so much weight on the fans that they're kind of wobbling, you know? Like, oh, good.
Don't you wish you could just dip them in something? Like,
yeah, like a sonic bath.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. Yeah, good luck. If anybody comes up with something that'll take that off. Everybody loses, like, what's that, Joe Gojo or something? Somebody recommended a product that'll
I think it's called Gojo.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's
thanks for asking me if I ate before you showed me that. Well, at least you were considerate.
You know, I would have showed it anyway.
You gave me a warning, though.
Hey, I got one more thing just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
These computers nowadays, you know, the days of using floppy drives to flash BIOS is
yes.
pretty much over.
Thank God.
Now you could do it with USB drives. You could do it through Windows. But I really want, I would shy anybody away from flashing a BIOS through Windows. You know, us computer repair guys, we know how flaky Windows can be.
Yes.
And flashing the BIOS is something you just don't want to be doing through Windows, in my opinion. But, you know, a lot of these manufacturers are, you know, giving you several ways of doing it, and one of them is through Windows. But, I've seen it happen before. You know, the whole idea is, you know, you run a utility in Windows, then you have to reboot the computer. Once the computer reboots, then the flash takes place, and then you go into Windows. Well, I don't trust that. And so I just want to let everybody know to please just shy away from that. I think the best method is a CD drive method.
Okay.
You can burn it onto a disk and use that. CD disk isn't going to, you know, screw up like a floppy would, you know.
Right.
You might have floppy, but like, you know, so, you know, you could brick your computer.
Yeah.
And I've seen it done with Windows BIOS flashes.
Good tip. You know, I've never bricked a computer, knock on whatever glass. Have you?
Have I bricked a computer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's another thing. A lot of guys think, and I know I'm probably going to catch a little heat for this, being a good thorough tech is great. And they think one of the, you know, in a lot of techs, you know, believe that, you know, hey, updating the BIOS on computers is a good, being a good thorough technician.
Not a lot of techs, I don't think, but some.
Well, okay, some of them. But at anyway, I it's my motto that first of all, you're not going to gain any performance benefits out of flashing a BIOS. That's for number one. And the only time I would flash a BIOS is if you're having a specific issue that particular BIOS will fix.
Right.
That is the only time I would flash a BIOS. So these techs that, you know, want to just flash BIOSes because there's one available, I would recommend against them.
It is dangerous. I have to say so. But, you know, BIOSes are also getting more advanced. They control fan speeds and different things. So as they're becoming more advanced, they probably are going to come out with more and more updates. And I never flashed BIOSes unless I absolutely had to or thought it would fix a problem. I thought that even though I didn't know if it would fix certain problems, sometimes it was one of the things I would try if it seemed like it fit. But
right.
I'm with you on this.
Right. If it's like you're at your wit's end and if it makes kind of sense to try to flash the BIOS.
Right, right.
You know, like a lot of times if you do a little research, you can find out the exact fixes that a particular BIOS will do for that particular computer. But I always cringe when I flash.
I know, me too.
I just hate doing it. I have these other techs that tell me, man, they flash BIOSes like constantly.
Really?
So, you know, to each his own. I just say it eliminates one more thing from going drastically wrong.
It's true. You got to realize too, the customer just wants their computer to work. They're not going to ask you if you flash the BIOS, and if you're not going to see that much of a performance increase, if any, don't do it. I agree with you on this. Do it if you think it's going to fix the problem, but I don't know. Maybe do it, and if you want to do it on your home computer, you know, be my guest. But for customers, they just put yourself in their shoes and picture how they want their computer when you return it. And most of the times, flashing the BIOS would only add uncertainty to the equation. So
exactly.
Good tip.
Hey, podnuts.com/guests. I noticed there's no guests for next week. So come on, guys. Sign up.
Let me check right now. Podnuts.com/guest. Sign up. Yeah, if anybody wants to be a guest on Podnuts Daily, it's so simple. Wow. There's nobody sign up for Podnuts Daily into the future. for no days. So I guess, Timster, that this is the last episode of Pod Nuts Daily I'm going to do.
Well, I am so glad I could be a part of this.
You're making history here. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sorry to say, this is the last episode of Pod Nuts Daily. I have no more guests.
Come on.
But if you do want to continue this show, go to podnuts.com/guests and sign up. Follow the instructions to sign up. If you can't figure out how to sign up, then you're not going to be on the show. No, but I really want people to sign up because this is the way Pod Nuts Daily has been going. This is the life that's been given to the show. It's all through you guys. I actually can't thank you guys enough. So let's keep it going. Timster, do you have fun when you do the show?
I have a blast. It is so much fun. You know, I'm not going to lie. I always get nervous right before the show starts. You know, my palms are sweating. You know, I'm going to choke. I'm going to stutter. But, you know, I got a few notes I have here in front of me. And once things get started, and, of course, you, Steve, you know, with your charismatic way of doing shows, you know, just everything just fits right in. And, you know, the hour goes by. And by the time it's done, you're like, wow, man, I had fun.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I know what you mean. Thank you for saying that, by the way. And thank you for being on the show. It's a conversation.
Thank you for Pod Nuts.
Oh, this is a group effort. We know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is a great tip, Timster. You want me to read an email now or should I?
Sure.
I think I might have a voicemail. If you guys want to call into the show and leave voicemails, I definitely need them too. That could fill some time. That's 7076 Pod Nut. If you want to give us a call at 7076 Podnut, we will play that voicemail. This one is from Mohammed. Yes, he says, hello. I have an HP 2133 mini notebook. It isn't showing the display at all. There is a sound of a computer running in there, for example, the processor fan, but there's no display. Can you give me advice regarding this? It will be really appreciated. Now, a lot of these guys aren't Podnuts listeners. There's just people that have gone to the laptoprepairvideos.com and email me and want me to fix their laptop. But I figure I'll read some of these on the show because it's good information. So Mohammed, you didn't give me quite enough info on this, but if you have a computer and it sounds like it's running, but there's nothing on the screen, you got to check for some things here. There's a difference. What I would do, first of all, is you say it's running, but look at the hard drive light. I always look at the hard drive light, the indicator light for the hard drive, and look and see if it's acting as if the computer's booting up normally, but there's just no video. Because sometimes when there's no video, and you look at the hard drive light, indicator light, it's not doing anything. When you hit the power button, it doesn't do anything. So you know it's not just a video problem because the hard drive's not working either. But sometimes you power up your computer, you get no video, but you could look at the hard drive indicator light and you could say, oh, yeah, it looks like it's actually booting up. I remember that this is kind of what it does when it boots up, and then it gets real active about 2 minutes into the boot. So it looks like it's booting up, and just the video is the problem. So you have to determine whether it's that, the video is the problem, or something else. The whole motherboard could be flaked out or something. So I actually use the hard drive indicator light to do that for me. If it does look like the hard drive's booting properly and the computer's really running, it's just no video, well, then look at the screen and see if you see any faint icons. If you could still see an image on the screen, then even though there's no backlight, then you know you have a bad bulb or a bad inverter, so you got to switch that out. If the screen's just black and nothing, hook up an external monitor, see if the video card's working. Those are about the tips I would give for that one. Anything to add on that one, Timster?
No, Steve, you about covered that.
All right, cool. Blaine has a suggestion here. Blaine says to me, Steve, it would be great if you could get Bryce back on Podnuts. It's been a long time since we've heard from him. And Bryce is from technibble.com. He's the founder and creator of that site. And I have to agree with Blaine here. He says, topic suggestions for Bryce. Discuss the thought process and mechanics of troubleshooting malware and hardware problems. Certain utilities get hot, then they fade out of fashion. But the process for evaluating the situation is always a valuable skill. Thanks so much for the Podnuts and the forums. That's from Blaine. Blaine is a big contributor in the Podnuts forums and other Podnuts activities. And just wanted to read that email because I think I will. Blaine, I think I'm going to contact Bryce and see if we can get him back on the show.
Hey, Bryce is the man.
Bryce is definitely the man. If you guys haven't checked out technibble.com, it's an amazing site. check it out. All right. Anything else, Timster, before we end off?
That's all I have, Steve.
Yeah, that's all I have as well.
So you can follow me on Twitter at TIM31405. Yeah. I don't really tweet much, but.
Yeah, follow Timster on Twitter. That's an order.
Sometimes I'll tweet a project of the day that I do or something.
Yeah, you're always hacking around with, you know, you have obviously have a kick butt computer that you like to overclock and benchmark, right?
Oh yeah,
Do you tweet about that?
No, not really. I mean, a lot of that, my project of the day is kind of like, some of it's my 9 to 5, which is in construction. So I know that's kind of strange for a tech guy, but yeah, then I do some, computer jobs that I'll just call it, you know, project of the day. And
Well, there you go. That's valuable tweet. Some valuable tweeting. All right. So follow Timster on Twitter and, you could also follow Podnuts on Twitter. I like to announce whenever we do something new on the Twitter feed. That's twitter.com/podnuts. Okay, that's going to be it for today's episode of Podnuts Daily. See everybody next time.
Bye.
Music for Podnuts Daily has been provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.